Hi, welcome to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ken.
And this is Doug with the episode synopsis, Season 3, Episode 3, Lovesick. Artie and Claudia go to Salt Lake City to investigate a computer virus that affects people. Meanwhile, at the warehouse, Pete and Micah wake up together naked in Artie's room with Artie's toothbrush and discover that Steve is missing. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson. Written by Andrew Kreisberg. Executive Story Editor Derek A. Hughes. And directed by Tanya McKiernan. Original air date, July 25th, 2011.
So we're back with Season 3, Episode 3, Lovesick. And the artifact of the week from Warehouse Wiki is, now let's see if I can say this, Judah Lo Ben Belazil's Amulet. Also known simply as the Gollum Necklace. It's a powerful artifact with the ability to animate inanimate objects. The amulet's effect was transmuted to create a computer virus that transforms human DNA into clay. So, just a funny coincidence, and I can't remember what episode it was because I'm way behind on editing. So, I can't remember. I think we talked about it. There was an episode that you kept saying that Pete was handsome and I kept laughing at you. And we were talking about it's just his actions that make me think he's not handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he was in Bones, I thought he was handsome.
Mm-hmm.
And just coincidentally, because I've been rewatching things right after that episode, I got to the Sully episodes in Bones with him in it.
Oh,
or
okay.
As DC calls it, the Bones. And it's true. I do think he's handsome in Bones.
I haven't really watched that.
It's pretty good. I watched it when it was originally on the air. And then, you know, I think I've watched it more than once. But I just started watching it again because I just look for things to watch that I don't really have to pay attention to too much.
Yeah, I've been doing that lately too.
Yeah, because I've already seen it. So I've been like rewatching Criminal Minds and Bones and things that I've already seen. So I don't have to pay 100% attention. But anyway, it was just a coincidence that we were talking about that and his episodes came up.
Oh, so okay.
It was just fun fact. So in this episode, Vanessa's back. And we find out that not only does she work for the warehouse, but her real job is with the CDC. And Hugo Miller is also back.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear that he left Eureka because things blow up there every day.
Eureka, no. I think I've had just about enough of that town.
What?
Yeah, 3 weeks. Something seems to go boom. I mean, I think I'm going to look for something a little more sedate, a little more peaceful.
Well, I hope you're happy.
I know I'll be happy.
You didn't do episode 13.1 because that was an episode I had done with Skip for the Eureka podcast.
Yeah.
But I remember Skip and I talking because at the end of that episode, Douglas Fargo was going to take Hugo to Eureka. And I remember saying to Skip, that would have been a great crossover episode.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
To have a Eureka episode with Hugo Miller in it. Yeah. And why didn't they ever do that? And I remembered that he was in Warehouse 13 again, so I knew he didn't stay in Eureka. But still, he could have been a scientist of the week.
Right. You know,
there's scientists there that we see him once, we never see him again. That doesn't mean they're not still there. But it's funny that they carried it forward and said he left Eureka because things are blowing up all the time there. So Artie has to meet Vanessa at the hospital due to some kind of illness that Vanessa thinks may have something to do with an artifact. And people are turning to clay. Poor Artie tries to leave in the middle of the night unnoticed. And he can't leave without all of them questioning him on, you know, is he wearing cologne? Did he cut his eyebrows? And his clothes.
Artie, where are you going in the middle of the night?
Nowhere. No place. What?
Is that the coat I got you?
This coat? So what? Yeah.
Is that a clean shirt?
No, it's not.
Did you trim your eyebrows?
No.
What's that smell?
What? I don't smell anything.
Exactly. You primped. You're going to see Dr. Vanessa.
But they're saying it's the middle of the night. Why are they all in the warehouse in the middle of the night?
Well, what is the middle of the night?
I don't know. They said, where are you sneaking off to in the middle of the night? But they're all there fully dressed in the middle of the night.
I don't know, because they really don't have a 9-to-5.
Right, I know.
So
but
can you still be up in the middle of the night doing something or checking something out?
I guess.
Yeah, I could kind of see that.
I guess. I kind of thought it would be more realistic if they caught him sneaking out of the bed and breakfast in the middle of the night.
Wait a minute. Where does Artie live at anyway?
I think he lives at the bed and breakfast. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure.
I keep thinking he's got a bedroom somewhere in the warehouse. Yeah, I keep on thinking he lives in the warehouse and they live in the B&B.
Yeah, for some reason, that didn't occur to me. And I just thought they all lived in the B&B, but it could be that Artie lives in the warehouse. I don't know.
It could be because he's always coming to the B&B.
True.
He doesn't wake up at the B&B. He always comes to the B&B.
True.
Because he drives to the B&B.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's where Pete and Micah end up. That never occurred to me.
Okay.
Obviously, he'd rather go alone because Vanessa's going to be there. But Claudia reminds him that he needs her to go with him because it's a hospital to keep him from passing out or getting hurt if he passes out from the sight of blood. And at this point, the victims all seem to be women. Meanwhile, Pete and a blonde Micah wake up together in Artie's bed with Artie's toothbrush.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
This was a funny episode. I like this one. And they realize that Jinx seems to be missing. And they have no idea what happened to them. So they use the directional spectrometer to see the last 5 hours, although it only shows them the last 5 hours.
Right.
So they don't find much of anything except that Pete woke up at some point to make a phone call. Artie calls, and it turns out that he called Artie at 3 a.m. to sing the Pina Colada song. And of course, Pete would pick the most annoying song known to man.
Okay, I don't know what the song was.
Pina Colada song?
Oh, okay.
Come on, I know.
If you like pina yes. colada, in the rain. Yeah, that is annoying. Oh, my boy, Pete.
So apparently the phone call meant nothing. He just decided to do that. They noticed that there were several artifact disturbances in the warehouse. So they go out into the warehouse to find out what happened, to kind of trace their steps. At the hospital, Vanessa figures out that the virus is changing its victims' DNA, and they're turning to clay. But then I thought it was funny, when they had the big code or whatever it was up on the board, Artie's the one who recognizes it as code.
See, it's a pattern, and it just repeats. There. Can you see it now?
No.
Okay.
Whoa, now, how did you see that?
It's just an old habit from my code-breaking days at the NSA.
Code. That's computer code.
Of course. It's a computer virus.
Yeah, even I'm not that smart to realize this computer code.
Yeah, but Claudia, you would think, would spot it before Artie would.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was funny that Claudia makes some kind of Batman reference. And Artie says to Vanessa that she loves to make references that nobody ever understands. And Vanessa understands it. It's just Artie that doesn't understand her references.
Understand, yeah. Yeah, he really doesn't have a sense of humor.
But he doesn't understand what she's talking about either.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
I wrote down, was it Hugo and Vanessa, when they talk about Mary Jane?
Yes.
Were they referring to Rick James, Mary Jane?
They were talking about marijuana. They were smoking marijuana. Yeah.
Well, that's Rick James' song. It's about weed, Mary Jane.
Oh, I didn't hear you say weed. I heard you say Rick James.
Rick James, and then I wrote weed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I mean, that's all they did was get high.
Yeah, that's what they were talking about, and that's why she shushed them.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I didn't talk about weed.
Yeah.
Mary Jane, Rick James, the song, Weed, okay.
Well, yeah, they called it Mary Jane way before Rick James did. That's why I thought you were talking about the song. Okay, I get it.
Well, yeah, particularly I was. Well, they're only but so much older than I would say than we are. So, you know, back in the 70s, yeah, they're smoking a lot of weed, but Rick James came out and, yeah, in the 70s, we were in high school when Rick James came out.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm thinking song two, when he said Mary Jane, which referenced me to weed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, yeah, I understand they called it Mary Jane, and then, yeah, got it.
Yeah,
okay,
they were.
Let's move on.
Yeah, they were. They were definitely talking about weed.
Okay.
So Artie brings in Hugo to help with the virus because Hugo's a computer guy. He's the one who set up most of the programs at the warehouse to begin with. So they're all happy to see each other until they notice that Hugo and Vanessa already know each other, and it's apparent they have a history together.
Mm-hmm.
And poor Artie, I felt bad. He looked brokenhearted.
He did.
And at some points, you could see that Vanessa is worried about what Artie thinks.
Yeah.
What Artie thinks might be going on. But they're in the middle of a crisis, and she doesn't really get a chance to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
You know? But you could see that she's worried. Claudia tries to talk to Artie, who's visibly upset. He's ripping that room apart.
Would a machete help? Or maybe a chainsaw? After all, this is just a crime scene. Okay, you know what? Okay, you're always there for me, as annoying as that can be, and that can be pretty annoying. So how about we change things up, and you let me be there for you for 2 minutes?
Artie tells her he resigned himself to the fact that he's going to be alone forever until Vanessa. And it was kind of sad, so I got a little uncomfortable, because he doesn't show his feelings or talk about his feelings. I mean, it was good that he opened up, but it's not like him to open up about his feelings and to talk to Claudia about it.
Yeah.
You know? I kind of felt bad for Artie at that point. Well, through most of the episode, I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
Claudia. All right. Given my line of work and my advanced years, I had pretty much made peace with the fact that I would not find romantic companionship. Love. And then Vanessa. And so I started to hope.
Claudia and Artie find a connection to, it sounded like an electronics store, Tiger Direct.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Tyler, who's this skeevy guy, who we saw cyber spying on the last victim that came into the hospital. And we find out he's an employee. He gets caught by his manager and fired right before Artie and Claudia arrive. But I wondered why he said, "You can't fire me." If it's his manager. I thought we were going to find out he was the child of the owner of the company or something. But there was just no reason for him to say that I could figure out.
I know. I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
Who put him in the car? Who put Tyler in the car?
I don't remember who put him in there. Why?
Because I want to know how you don't know that that's not a police officer in the car.
How you don't know it's not a police officer?
Well, it's going back to, like, Sally. Sally claims she's an FBI agent.
Right.
And I asked her before, how do we know she's an FBI agent when she showed no credentials? You put this kid in a car, and you don't know who's driving? You're not talking to who's driving?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't pay attention to who put him in the car.
I'm going to have to rewatch this, because I'm still like, all right, so who put him in the car and how you don't know who this driver is? Was it a police car?
But he might be an actual police officer. That doesn't mean that he's not working for somebody else, too.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Honestly, I didn't pay attention to who put him in the car.
Right. But like I said, nobody shows credentials.
Right, but if you see a cop in a car and another cop's putting him in the car, the cops on the scene aren't going to ask the cop in the car for ID if they might know him. I don't know. I don't know if he's really a cop.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, just
that,
like...
That was one of the things that bothered me. I'm like,
I don't know if he's really a cop and just working for these bad guys. Just like I don't know if Sally's really an FBI agent. I think she is. And just working for these bad guys. So it could have been just the cop car that was there and the
they
other...
got in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. It happens in real life, so I guess it can happen in movies.
So, fortunately, Claudia leaves the store to catch him because the manager said, "I just fired him," so she thought she can get him in the parking lot. Otherwise, she would have been trapped and zapped like everyone else in the store. And the only ones that didn't get zapped were Artie and Vanessa because Artie realized what was going on and he blocked Vanessa's eyes.
He saved this woman.
So, I guess the kid's picture was on Hugo's screen, but he notices the necklace around Tyler's neck.
Yeah.
And he knows what it is. As in every show that there's a pandemic or there's a crisis, you know, there's always some lunatic who starts going crazy. mm-hmm. who won't listen to instructions. So he's going to shoot his way out of the place. And Vanessa gets infected trying to calm the store manager down through his eyes. So now it's going from, you know, people to people.
Right.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dud Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you're also a fan of Eureka. And if you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So all this time, Hugo just assumes that he and Vanessa are back together. And I think Artie thinks that they already discussed it and they are back together.
Yep.
But it's really just Hugo making assumptions. So moving on, at least the skis ball saves Claudia from falling off a roof. Because I kind of thought he was going to try and kick her off the roof when she was dangling from the building.
Yeah.
So at least he does that. And he wants to know why she's chasing him. And she tells him the whole story. So back at the warehouse, Pete and Micah start remembering that they were having target practice. And this is when Steve told them he was gay. So Pete decides he's going to take his shirt off for him because his body is useless to the other people. They don't seem to care about his body.
Oh my god.
Finally! Thank God there's someone to appreciate all this. It's a waste of time working out for these people. Here, I'll take my shirt off.
No, thanks.
No, hey, anytime, man. You know, I spend a lot of time on the guns and pack and
Pete, I'm really good.
No, dude, I'm straight. It's cool, man. Take it in.
Pete, put your shirt back on.
Anytime. It's cool.
Oh, my God. And I swear to God, this kid, the guy who plays Steve, his expressions are perfect. He looks so mortified at Pete's nonsense. The look on his face was like the best.
Yes, I love it. When I look at him, I keep on saying, is that what you look like when your face just speaks volume?
He is the best. I really do like this character. I think I said it before.
Yeah.
So the first artifact that they come across is W.C. Fields juggling balls. And apparently these balls make them feel and act as if they're drunk. And that's what made him pass out and blackout. That's why they don't remember anything.
Mm.
And then they follow the trail of the Marilyn Monroe's hairbrush. And that's why Micah has blonde hair.
Yes.
And this didn't really have anything to do with anything, but it was cute. And I figured, you know, you being the Mickey Mouse fan that you are, would have enjoyed Walt Disney's paintbrush.
Yeah.
Because anything you paint with it animates.
That's why he did the shoes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so cute.
It was. And I figured you got a kick out of that.
Mm-hmm.
This is around the time when Steve finds them playing with the artifacts. And he, who's not infected with anything, tells them they got to put him back. He was being the authority figure. So Pete and Micah decide they're going to bronze him using Richard Nixon's shoes to get him to the bronzer. And then they put his shoes in the bronzer so Steve would go in to pick him up. And I just thought Richard Nixon's shoes were hilarious. The wearer is able to lie without being detected. Even well enough to negate Steve's lie detection gift. Then it says, warning, causes deep paranoia in wearer, leading to illegal and secretive activities of sabotage. That made me laugh. I know you remember Watergate.
Oh, yeah, I remember Watergate.
But do you remember the hearings? They were on every day during the day?
I remember them being on every day. I just don't remember in detail everything that was going on day by day. I just knew that, you know, Richard Nixon, I don't even know how else to say it.
I remember specifically that everybody was up in arms. It was more about the hearings were preempting all the soap operas.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Those hearings seemed like they went on forever.
They did.
And they were preempting the soap operas. At that time, if I remember correctly, soap operas weren't taped. They were live.
Yes, they were.
So if they get preempted, you don't get to see that episode ever. So people were missing whole storylines and people were pissed. And at one point, the networks, because back then we didn't have cable, there was only the three networks.
Right. Yep.
Made some agreement to alternate the hearings. So at least you could see the hearings every day on one channel or another. But right. The other channels weren't losing all their sponsors and they weren't preempting all their soap operas and game shows.
No, so, see, I don't remember that part, but yeah, okay.
I do remember everybody being up in arms about missing their soap operas.
Well, hey, I remember watching them, to watch the soap operas. And yeah. I was Ryan's Hope and All My Children.
Yep.
You know, everything basically was at ABC.
ABC, yeah. I used to watch Ryan's Hope, All My Children, One Life to Live.
And General Hospital.
General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then back earlier, I used to watch The Edge of Night. Do you remember that one?
I remember Edge of Night, but I never watched it.
Oh, I love that one. You know who was in that? Remember when we were doing the Eureka podcast, Frances Fisher, she was Eva Thorne?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
She was in that, yeah. And then
that's
there was,
where she was from.
Something about Where the Heart Is, maybe was the name of it.
Oh, I remember that too, but I never watched it.
So I just remember everybody being up in arms about missing their soaps.
Richard Nixon.
That's the first thing I thought of when I heard Richard Nixon's shoes, because that's always the first thing I think of is those hearings that went on forever.
Ever, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They put Steve in the bronzer.
Poor Steve.
I know.
You don't know what he got himself into.
I know. And then they figure out that they needed Artie's DNA to embronze him, which explains why they had the toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could be 100% wrong because my memory's not what it used to be, as everybody can tell. But I kind of remember, I thought they needed the bronzed person's DNA to unbronze them, not Artie's.
You know what? I don't remember that. You could be right. I just don't remember.
I could be 100% wrong, too. But because I said, oh, then the toothbrush must be Steve's. It's not Artie's toothbrush, but it was Artie's. So they needed Artie's DNA to unbronze him. But I could swear... And again, I'm going to say my memory isn't what it used to be. I could swear at some point they needed the person who was bronze DNA to unbronze them.
Yeah, I can't remember.
So they finally realized, and this was funny. They finally realized that Micah thought to have them get in bed together. So when they woke up, there would be no doubt that something was very wrong.
The tuga balls make you drunk and black out. And when you black out, you forget things, don't you?
Oh, my God. Holy crap, Wendy. You are so right. Oh, if we don't remember what happened to Mr. Poopy Pants, he could be lost in there forever.
Quick, take off all your clothes. Take them off.
Okay, but sometimes when Big Pete drives a truck, little Pete doesn't always stay on the road.
You know, as Micah said, this would be the last thing they would ever do.
Right, yeah.
And because they thought they would know something was very wrong, Micah wouldn't let it go without investigating.
Right.
I mean, if they just went back to the B&B and went to bed and woke up, they probably wouldn't remember anything.
Yeah.
But Steve's still bronzed. They would never remember to go look for Steve. I mean, eventually they'd notice he was missing, but, you know, who goes into the bronzing room?
Right.
That was funny. This is something we would never, ever do.
They know each other well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Steve's face again when he comes out of the bronzer. He is so funny. His facial expressions are perfect. So back at the store, Artie uses the ink from the inkwell of Francois Vion to make it possible for Tyler to throw the necklace through the glass. And with the necklace and Hugo's program, they're able to stop the virus and cure everyone. Vanessa explains to Artie that Hugo's in love with somebody she was years ago, and she's not that person anymore, and she's
that
not.
That picture that he carried around.
Yes, and so they're going to continue dating or taking walks or whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah, they're supposed to be having dinner. I guess dinner's still on.
And then at the very end, we see Tyler's getting recruited by Sally Sikowski and her police officer accomplice. Did you ever watch Grimm?
I watched that for a brief moment.
Yeah, that cop was... in Grimm. He was the chief of police.
I knew he looked familiar because I was like, really? I've seen him before. So I think I tried to watch Grimm. And then after, I was like, nah.
Yeah, I liked it. Some of the dialogue was kind of ridiculous. Like, really?
Yeah, certain things I try because I kind of like stuff like that. And sometimes it depends on who's on the characters. If I'm not feeling them at all in that kind of setting, then it's just dumb. Especially if you're a main character.
Yeah, it took me a little while to get into it, but just because some of the dialogue was ridiculous. Like, there was one part, they said, oh, we should go interview that witness. Like, they said things that didn't need to be said. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you should go interview that witness. Why do you need to tell somebody that? Why do you need to say it like you just had this idea? Of course you should. But it was good. I mean, once you got into it, it was good.
Okay.
But that's pretty much all I had. You got anything?
No, the only thing I had was, and I'm still trying to figure out, why they still playing with stuff? You know, like they're like a kid in a candy store. You know the candy's not good. That's like somebody lactose intolerant. You're in the candy store and you're eating all this chocolate. Like nothing's going to happen?
Right. But first they were having target practice, but Pete's the one who always goes haywire. Mm-hmm. Like, if he didn't go haywire with his shooting, none of this would happen.
Like, you know the stuff is in the warehouse for a reason, and you keep on playing with it. Then you add Micah to the mix? Come on now. You know that's disaster waiting to happen. Because even first when I looked at it, I said, what the heck happened to her hair?
Why are you blonde?
I'm blonde! Oh my God, I'm blonde! What did you do?
Oh, hey, don't blame me. I'm good, but I've never changed a woman's hair color.
And then after the thing go on, I said, when I'm playing around again, you know, always into something. Pete's my boy, though, because he has a child's heart. That's the one reason why I do love Pete. But sometimes he gets carried away, and then, you know, things happen. But it was a good episode. It was a good episode. Now I'm going to have to hear it.
Yeah, for people who are wondering what she's talking about, because we talked about this before we started recording, Kim had a busy week, and she's been on the phone a lot. And she hasn't been able to sit down and watch it or listen to it. She watched this episode with the closed captioning. So she hasn't heard any of the whole episode yet.
So now I'm going to go back and listen to it so I can get to the next one. Yeah. I'm just going to play the two straight through before I pick up the phone. But it wasn't bad because I was able to just look at it, go, oh, okay, and write it down. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, you seem like...
You know, I got a lot of the major stuff.
Yeah, it seems like you got most of it.
Yeah, so that was good. That was good, yep.
I have to imagine the hard part would be... trying to read the closed captioning while listening to somebody talk on the phone. That I wouldn't be able to do.
It kind of worked, though.
All right. So we'll be back next week with episode 4.
All right. See you next week.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
I'm wearing Spanx. Stop looking at me.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
Join us next time for season 3, episode 4, Queen for a Day. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse, on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com, or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.